Gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Bitch, you guessed it. I'm still with my neck. Coming to the
I can't remember. I've been popping my
wheels in a bit, keeping it lit. Me and my clique, me and my clique. Me and the
Welcome back. It's good to be back. Episode 3, week 2 of the fantasy season. Things did look a little iffy. If we'd get back into this third episode, we defied the odds. Look at us now. We're back. We're here. Week 1's in the books. It's a bit of a doozy. Scott and Duncan become the highest scorers in the league after getting the crap bashed into them over the first couple episodes for not being really good enough. Damn near everyone broke 100 points. And Jordan, he cemented himself as going undefeated. That did not come true. Speaking of Jordan, we're going to go ahead and bring him in now, talk about his loss, his matchup this week with Jared, and a couple other matchups as well. Jordan, welcome back. Your first episode here as a listener. I guess we were about to double dip with you and Jared both being on, but he's got work and stuff. What was your biggest surprise looking at week one as a whole?
I'm trying to remember what happened week one. I need to go back and look at the scores. I've been looking at these week's matchups. I don't know, man. Give me 2 seconds here. I think I was surprised how many points Jared's team put up despite Todd Gurley having an awful day. I mean, he put up some pretty big numbers. He was like, 140 points with Gurley scoring just a few. That's probably my biggest surprise. As well as Austin's team scoring 152 off an auto draft team. That's kind of crazy. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, like, before the season how good everybody's team is. So nothing's that surprising. I mean, we don't really know how it's all going to play out until it does.
All right, fair point. Hot off the presses here. You made a trade with Pip. It was Dez and Chris Johnson for Alan Hearns and Charles Sims. I'm seeing Dez as your replacement for Keenan. You get a handcuff for your starter in Johnson. Walk us through this trade that literally just happened.
Yeah, I know. I think I just accepted like an hour and a half ago or something. But yeah, I mean, pretty much what you said. Like, it was all about just hopefully getting a guy that can replace Keenan. I mean, and I realize that like Dez's situation with Dak Prescott at quarterback is like it's a risky situation. He only had one catch last week for 8 yards or something like that. But I mean, I wasn't gonna get a wide receiver one without taking a risk, especially if I didn't want to give up like David Johnson or anything like that. So, yeah, just trying to replace Keenan and hopefully get my team back to the level that it was before. Yeah, I mean, Chris Johnson, it's nice to have a handcuff, especially because now my running backs are crazy thin. I mean, I traded Charles Sims away. So basically my bench running backs are Chris Johnson as the handcuff and then Alfred Morris, who probably won't have any value as long as Ezekiel Elliott's still a running back. So we'll see. I mean, I just feel like I had to take a little bit of a risk there, and Dez is too good of a player to pass up on, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I like that. You get Dez, and the handcuff is great. Like, this trade, from my perspective for you, is really good. I don't know why Pip is banking on Sims. Like, to me, getting him is really interesting. I don't see Doug Martin losing the job anytime soon unless he gets seriously hurt or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're definitely right. Like, I think Martin's a pretty, pretty solid bet to stay healthy. He's like a pretty big dude. I don't see him. I don't think he has that much of an injury history. But, I mean, Sims is like a good player in his own right. He had a sweet touchdown run last week, and he's a really good pass catcher. So he has some standalone value since we're in a PPR league. Obviously, he would be a huge player if Martin went down. I mean, yeah, I don't really know why Pip wanted him either, especially because Pip's running backs are actually, like, really nice. They already were, and now they're even better. Because he has got – now with Sims, he's got six, like, startable running backs. because he's got Ingram, Spencer Ware, startable for now, and who knows how long. I love Woodhead. I mean, Arian Foster is good for now. Theo Riddick scored like 25 points last week. I was trying to get him to give me Theo Riddick back, but he didn't want to do that. And then now he's got Sims as well. So, like, you'd feel all right about starting any of those guys, in my opinion. I mean, Sims and maybe Riddick are, like, flex plays for bye weeks. But so, I don't know. He'll probably end up moving one or two of those guys to a team that gets desperate and, you know, might give up a wide receiver. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he really likes Hurns too, which, I mean, I was excited about watching Hurns this year. But, yeah, I couldn't pass it up getting Dez.
Well, good insight for a trade there. That's always nice to have. Speaking of Pip, his matchup is against Tim this week. This matchup is projected to be a tight one. It's essentially a pick'em. I did write all of this before the trade happened. But Pip is coming off a blowout loss to Scott, being saved from low score of the week of Spencer Ware, or his high score of the week was Spencer Ware, had 29.4 against the Chargers. He left 45 on his bench with Woodhead and Theo Riddick. While Pip starts... starters struggled to score. That was all essentially Scott's team could do. Tim was able to get the win with a zero on the board from his defense and two players getting less than four thanks to Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown. Surprisingly, a big game from Dante Moncrief, and Ty Sharp is looking like Tennessee's number one receiver. Pip looks like he's going with Bortles this week. Tim is starting Forsett over Matt Jones, and Pip's defense is paired up against LeSean McCoy on a Thursday night matchup. Jordan, what do you see happening?
Yeah, this one's like really tough to pick, I think. I was going back and forth. I don't know. Such a toss up for me. By the way, I have this written in my notes as the name of this game should be known as Jordan's Trade Partners Bowl, is what I'm referring to this as, instead of calling it Darius Hayward Harambe Watch versus Demaryius Bijan. Man, I don't know. This was such a tough one to pick. I mean, Pitt's team looks really good while he's got Spencer Ware still in the lineup. Like, that dude puts up huge numbers. Any Kansas City running back puts up huge numbers. But I think I ended up picking Tim in this one, and we can get into it deeper. But I think the difference maker for me, and this is kind of silly just because I for real couldn't figure out who I thought was going to win, I noticed Pitt has – every single one of his players, other than Danny Woodhead and his kicker, are on the road this week. So I don't know. Do you think that's something that makes, you know, could make a big enough difference in a really tight game like this?
Maybe. I mean, I didn't even look at like home road splits. It was mostly matchups. I don't know. Now I'm wondering if that is a thing. I'm not buying into that. I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting looking at his matchup. And, like, it's not going to make a difference. And that matters more, obviously, for, like, real-life results than it does for fantasy results. But I don't know. I was having a hard time picking this game regardless. But, yeah, I don't know. I put Tim by four just because I think Tim's receivers have looked really, really good so far. Pitt's receivers looked just okay last week. Obviously, Dez getting, you know, basically shut down was a part of that. And Cobb and Landry were kind of so-so. I don't know. I think I just have to go with Tim just because those players have shown that, like, they can have big games so far. Alshon played well. And actually, honestly, I was lucky going against Alshon that he didn't get, like, a buck 80 and a touchdown because I think he had 100 in, like, the first half. So, yeah, I don't know. I think I just got to roll with Tim on this one just by my gut, just by Aaron Rodgers over Bortles. I mean, Pitt's running backs are a lot better, but I like Tim having Antonio Gates this week without Keenan Allen in there. I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm just going with Tim just because it would make me feel better about my loss last week, I think.
Yeah, so, I really like Alshon Jeffrey to have a big week against that Eagles secondary, and I still really like Trey Sharp. Is that, I think that's how you pronounce his name, at the flex against the Lion. Mariota really likes him, and the Lions like other teams' receivers to catch the ball. I also think that with Pip, I think this is finally where he decides if he's going to ride or die with Woodhead. Like last week, he switched him out at the last minute, or maybe a couple days earlier. I wasn't really paying attention to his starters that much, but he put Danny Woodhen on the bench, and he put up 25. This also going on the same week where Melvin Gordon decided that he's going to be a running back who scores touchdowns, and I think that ultimately is going to limit Woodhead's use in the San Diego offense.
Yeah, I mean, this is another reason that it makes this matchup so tough for me to pick, but like, I really like Woodhead without Keenan Allen in there as well. Kind of the same thing I was talking about on Antonio Gates, because I think Woodhead finished, I don't know, there's some stat, he finished as like the number three or number four running back overall last year. And I know his best games came after like week eight or whatever when Keenan got hurt. So like, if I was Pip, I'd be all in on Woodhead right now. There's just no way he doesn't get like at least 15 touches a game. Dude gets a lot of work in the red zone, whether it's whether it's running the ball on the goal line or coming out of the backfield and catching those short passes. Like, he just always seems to be everywhere around the goal line. So I'm a big Woodhead fan, and that makes it this matchup even tougher for me to pick. I mean, this one, I think this is the best matchup of the week for me, just because I couldn't figure out who I thought was going to win.
All right, so you got 10 by 4. Our next matchup we're going to talk about is Fronick versus Austin. That's Hokeback Mountain versus Bendit Like Beckham Jr. Austin made all the right moves after his auto draft. I really think it's time we kill off mentioning auto draft with Austin. 60 combined points from Breeze and Cooks. That was a matchup I was worried about all week before this game, and that's exactly what ended up being the kicker for me. Austin has had less than 30 bench points. All of his players went off. I mean, there was hardly any other switches he could have made, really. Nick went up against the crazy scoring explosion from Duncan, only had one from John Brown, six Devontae Freeman, 1.6 from Jordan Cameron. The biggest question really is, can Austin's team repeat this performance going into week two?
Yeah, I think that he can, to be honest with you. And I think even if, like, I don't think he's going to go out and score 160 again. But for this week against Fronick, I don't think he has to. I look at Fronick's team this week, and there's just not a lot that I like. Gronk is like, I heard he went back to practice today, but he's obviously still not healthy. And, like, the way the Belichick coaches, like, you know, they can win without Gronk, and they don't really utilize him unless he's fully healthy and unless it's like a huge game where they feel like they really have to beat him and, you know, like they have to utilize him to get the win or whatever. I feel like best case he'll be like a decoy and get a few catches. Maybe he'll get a touchdown or whatever, but I just don't see him having a big enough day. And I think Gronk is such a key piece of his team because it was his first-round draft pick and his second-round draft pick. Sorry, Rick, but Devontae Freeman is not looking nearly as good as last year. I mean,
oh, I know.
Basically, like, it's basically a committee situation there. So, I don't know, man. His receivers, like, Kelvin Benjamin, I guess, is a borderline, like, wide receiver one. He looks pretty good to me in that game against Denver. I mean, he was going against a tough defense, and he made some big plays. Also had a few drops. But, I mean, he looks legit. He looks like the exact same guy that he was before the injury. I don't know. John Brown and Crabtree and Sterling Shepard, like, those guys are fine. But none of them are better than what I would want as, like, my wide receiver three or probably, like, a flex-type player. What do you think of his receivers?
Yeah, I like Crabtree this week. I'm not so sure about John Brown. I think Palmer still kind of has a thing going on with Fitzgerald until Fitzgerald, like, stops catching the ball, which I don't see him doing. I think with the Falcons, the way they're going to work is Trufant is going to play mostly on Cooper, and I think that leaves Robert Alford to cover Crabtree. The only downside being that the Falcons' run game wasn't very good last week against Doug Martin or Sims when they were both in there either passing or running, and I think the Raiders might ride Latavius, so maybe that knocks Crabtree down. I think that Stephon Diggs doesn't have the same big week that he had against Green Bay's defense, and I think Brandon Marshall has a bigger game. Obviously, Cooks and Breeze, I think that's a combined 45, like, easy between the two of them. I know the Giants' corners situation is a little bit better than what the Raiders had. It's kind of close. I think Austin probably wins by like maybe 7 or 8. Like, I don't see it being very close, really.
Yeah. I think you're totally right about the Breeze Cooks thing. I don't think they're going to, like, I don't think they're both going to have big weeks. Like, every single week this season, I mean, like, you know, Cooks will still be a boom or bust to, you know, to a certain degree. But so one of the things I did looking, just like, I wanted to check this out looking at the matchups. I was looking at what the, like, the top over-unders were in Vegas for games this week. And the three that I got for that are supposed to be the highest scoring, Saints and Giants is, like, number one by far, which makes perfect sense. It's two offenses that want to pass. Like, Saints defense is pretty bad. Giants defense is, I mean, they're so-so, but the Saints can definitely put up points on them. That's at, like, 53 or something, which is 3 or 4 points higher than the next highest over-under. The other ones are Falcons, Raiders, Cardinals, Buccaneers, and then actually they had Cincinnati, Pittsburgh up there pretty high, which was surprising to me. So, and I guess one of the things I was noticing is Austin's top players are, like, a lot of those guys are part of those matchups. I mean, Breeze and Cooks are both going to put up huge points. Both of his running backs play for teams that I mentioned that are supposed to be in high-scoring games this week. I know that Fronik has, like, Devonta Freeman that's part of those games as well, and he has Michael Crabtree, but I don't think those guys are impact players and quite as big a part of their team as, like, a Doug Martin or a Brandon Cooks. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So I like Austin's team. Besides those guys that I mentioned in those high-scoring matchups, I agree with you. I'm not seeing Diggs putting up huge numbers against Green Bay. I mean, they limited the Jaguars' passing attack, like, pretty well last week. So you have to feel good about their secondary. But Brandon Marshall is going to do better than just put up 30 yards again. I know Buffalo is decent in, like, cold weather and all that. But, I mean, I definitely don't think Brandon Marshall is going to be held under 30 yards every game this season. So I don't know. Just looking at Fronik's roster, like, other than Ben Roethlisberger, I don't really foresee anybody putting up huge points this week. So I got Austin winning by like 20 or more this week. Sorry, Fronik, but yeah, until Gronk's back and healthy, I think Fronik is probably the worst team in the league.
Yeah, I think Gronk is a big part of that. I've got two of the best tight ends going in a matchup against each other if Gronk plays. Also, what do you think about this? Austin has said Ryan Matthews is going to be the guy. Everyone's going to want to trade for him by the end of, not this week, but next week. What do you think about starting Ryan Matthews over Corey Coleman? I mean, that's really the only depth play that I think Austin would consider switching with. I don't think Victor Cruz is worth starting at this point. What do you think about those two guys for this week's matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like Ryan Matthews. Like, the Philly offense looked kind of decent yesterday, or not yesterday, a couple days ago on Sunday. You know, Carson Wentz was fine, and I think Ryan Matthews had a pretty good day. I know he scored a touchdown. But, I mean, you obviously can't trust Corey Coleman right now with McCown coming in. You have no idea. We haven't seen McCown work with Coleman a lot, like, in the preseason. And, I mean, I don't know. You can't really trust that Browns team as a whole. Like, I don't particularly like any player on that team except for Barnage. I'm hoping has a good week because him and McCown work well together. Yeah, I don't know. You can't really play Victor Cruz. He's kind of sitting on Josh Doctson and Deion Lewis, and, you know, Cruz is coming off an injury. So, I don't know. He's kind of waiting on some guys that, you know, he's probably hoping will add some depth for him. But Matthews is really the only option. I would like to see him start somebody other than Stephon Diggs, but I don't think he really has any options right now. Yeah, so his starting lineup, I mean, it's pretty good to me. I like the way his team shakes out. But yeah, he's going to have to do something to build that depth up, or just hope that, I guess, Deion Lewis comes back, you know, fast out the gates or whatever.
Yeah, I think once Tom Brady comes back from his suspension, so, like, you see his performance in week 5, I mean, he's untradeable until then, basically, unless someone wants to take a huge risk on him. Victor Cruz, not startable. CJ Spiller's a backup. Once the bye weeks come, like, Austin, I think, is going to be in a lot of trouble because he's going to have to work the waiver wire or make some trades to just get depth pieces at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And also, hopefully Austin knows this, but CJ Spiller just got cut today, so that's definitely not going to work out. Yeah, I don't know, man. He's going to have to, when week three or four comes around, he's going to have to think about who might be looking to get Tom Brady, like if somebody has a quarterback injury or whatever. That's the only way I can see him to, like, have a guaranteed way to build up some depth. I mean, he's got to just make smart moves on the waiver wire. But if he can play his cards right, his team is looking pretty decent so far.
All right, and finally, we'll move on to your own matchup, Jordan. We were about to double dip on this with you and Jared both being on, but Jared has a job and has to work with deadlines. And blah, 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 blah. Starting off with a review of your performance against Tim, you end up losing by 7.4 after his pair of Monday night starters put up 32.4 to combined, all while Gary Barnidge started and he put up a nice zero on the board. On top of that, you lose Keenan Allen for the year on top of that solid wide receiver core group that you had, and your claim to go undefeated falls flat on its face. What did you think of your week one?
So I got two things to say about that. Is number one, so you're calling me from the studio, correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure you guys have all kinds of like audio software and editing tools and stuff. Like, I just want to ask as a friend, would you mind going back and maybe if you do like you could use like AutoTune or something and edit my words to make it sound like I didn't actually say I was going to go undefeated. Is that cool?
I will not do that for you.
Okay. Well, what the other thing I was going to say is, like, since I can't see the future and I didn't know that Keenan was going to go down, my claim is technically I wasn't necessarily wrong. Like, the good thing about Keenan going down, I'm kind of a glass half full type of dude. The nice thing about him going down is pretty much no matter what happens from here on out, I can look back and go, well, you know what? If I had Keenan playing this week, maybe he would have put up enough points that I would have won this matchup. So there was just no way for me to predict it. I mean, I lost to Tim by like 7 or 8 points. Keenan scored 10 in the first half. If I had Keenan Allen, would he have scored 10 in the second half? Yeah, probably. So technically, I wasn't wrong.
But you were wrong, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm just a sports guy. You know what I mean?
I don't know. You seemed like you were very certain that you were going undefeated, like you were stuck, like you were going all in undefeated. I don't think you should make excuses because a guy got hurt that all of a sudden, oh, well, if he had stayed healthy, I would have been undefeated still.
Hey, would you mind not, like, using a stupid voice when you're trying to imitate me?
It's what you sound like, though.
I don't know, man. Hey, I was going to say also, like, now that we're kind of back to the hot take zone here, I feel like you were mad at me last time for not giving any legit analysis and just, like, going hot take after hot take. Because you were talking about, like, hey, when you come on and talk about the matchups, let's make it more like how Jared did it or how who else was it? How Tim did it, where we, like, discussed the matchups in depth and this and that. Like,
well, that was because, like, I mean, that was when I was projecting forward. Like, when Jared came on, he talked for a half hour, but I was trying to fit everybody in, and then the pod ended up being 2 hours long. I kind of, like, that one I wanted hot takes, but now when we move into matchups, like, we can go more in-depth on them.
Can I give, like, medium takes? Like, can I do what the level I'm talking about is, like, Asian Zing at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's kind of, like, in the middle of the spectrum there.
Yeah, do your thing, man.
Yeah, also, shout out B-Dubs. I know that this podcast is looking for a sponsor currently, Buffalo Wild Wings. That one's for free. Give me a call. I'll give you my number. We can talk it out. I'm just trying to wheel and deal here.
All right. Was that your Asian Zing take then?
Yeah, that was kind of a medium take itself, wasn't it?
That was like lemon pepper dry rub take in my books.
Mild as hell, dude. Oh, I got another thing to say too. Just want to let everybody know that, and just kind of talk about how much I love listening to Jim Nance and Phil Sims on CBS's NFL coverage. Love it. Just wanted to say also wanted to say fuck Cletus, the, you know, Fox's NFL football robot. I think that shit's dumb. You know, here's a hot take. If I wanted to watch a cyborg play football, I'd just watch Antonio Brown.
That's beautiful. Okay, let's move forward now onto your matchup. You're still going with Eli over Randy. You don't have Keenan Allen. You've replaced him now with Dez Bryant. You pick up a little more depth. What do you have to say about this matchup?
You cut me off from my last thing, dude. I was going to say, you know, now that we got a new boss on the show, CBS, I was kind of just trying to wet the beak of the boss. You feel me? Little shout out to CBS. Catch us a few more viewers, you know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
What was your question?
What do you think of your matchup? Like, what do you think about it? I didn't do a whole lot of prep for it. It's your matchup. What do you have?
Oh, man. I didn't do a whole lot of prep for mine either. I don't know. It's tough because I really like Jared's team moving forward. I think he's got a super nice starting lineup. I think that Gurley's going to turn it around a little bit. I mean, it's a bad offense, and I don't think he's going to finish as the number one running back like Jared was hoping, but, you know, he'll still finish in that top 5 to 10 range. Obviously, C.J. Anderson, I think, actually has potential to be a top 5 running back if he keeps playing like he did in that Thursday matchup. He's also going against Indy, who gave up, like, 3 or 4 touchdowns to Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah, so I would expect him to do really well. I'm a big fan of Jared's receivers as well. I mean, Mike Evans and Amari Cooper, I think, are, like, that's a crazy solid one, too. Both of those guys, to me, seem like they're pretty much matchup-proof. Those are both, like, big receivers that can, you know, they can have big plays. They can be the possession guy. Their quarterbacks love targeting them over any receiver on the team. Like, I see those guys as pretty much matchup-proof. You know, Evans is going to be maybe against Patrick Peterson, but he should still have a pretty good day. Amari Cooper's in that high-scoring Oakland-Atlanta game, I think, is going to have a huge day. And Matthews, I mean, you know, I think he had a really good day last weekend. I don't know if he can replicate it, but, I mean, he's obviously, like, a talented receiver, and I think with a good quarterback, he has the potential to be good. The problem I have with Jared's team is he's just kind of lacking, like, that flex guy or that guy that you can plug in and feel like really good about. I mean, so he's got Eric Ebron in his flex, which, you know, flexing a tight end is generally a bad idea. Shout out Scott, who, oh, by the way, you have to ask Scott when he comes on. He picked up CJ Fedorowicz for $5.
That's what he did, Fedorodix.
Dude, I mean, yeah, I don't know. You got to ask him what the deal was there, because, like, I just don't know what he's seeing, to be honest. He has 2 tight ends already, and, like, I prefer Clive Walford from Oakland, and Luke picked him up for $2. So I don't know what he was doing there. Sorry, lost my train of thought there. But, Jared's bench has a lot of guys. It's, like, his bench, Gore, Ivory, Aiken, Chris Thompson. It's a lot of guys that, like, that you feel fine with starting, and you know they'll get you a few points. But they're not guys that you're really excited about. They're not guys that necessarily have the potential to have a huge day. Just, you know, generally could be pretty solid players. They're worth owning, but not players you'd be happy about starting, especially before bye weeks have started. So that's kind of tough that he has that depth problem. I know that he's probably just sitting Frank Gore because they're going against Denver, and you don't really want to start running backs against them. So I really like Jared's team, but that's kind of an issue. And also this week, Russell Wilson playing on a bum ankle. The Seahawks' O-line looked really, really bad last week, and the offense in general played pretty poorly because of it. But, I mean, even after hurting his ankle, he came out and led the game-winning drive. I just I don't know. What do you think about Jared's team this week?
For the sake of having Rawls now as the starter on my team, I really like that Russell Wilson has a bum ankle. I think that benefits me a lot. His receivers are going to have a hell of a week. I think now that you've added Dez, that kind of ups your competition as well. But when you were playing Hearns there with Macklin and Thomas, I thought for sure his wide receivers were going to have a better week. Gary Barnage can only get better. I mean, unless he gets one reception for -5 yards and fumbles. That's literally the only thing he could do worse. The double tight ends, I don't know if he's hoping to kind of bank in on that 150-plus, like, scoring boost that Scott got for 2 tight ends. maybe he's just trying to bank in on the Detroit offense where Stafford wants to throw the ball, so I might as well pick up one of his receivers. That could be the week he goes off. It's going to be okay. I think it's a lot closer than the projected four that it is. I think this really comes down to how well Jordan Matthews plays on Monday night compared to Jeremy Langford. I don't know what to make of the Eagles or the Bears defenses in that one. I think it could be a blowout. It could also be very tight, and it could be a good game. And I think that goes along with this matchup. I'm gonna take Jared by less than two in this one for this week.
Wow, that's close. I think all the things you said make enough sense to me. As far as my team goes this week, I don't know. I have a good feeling about my team this week. I think with a full healthy roster and with Barnage hopefully not putting up another zero, like all my guys looked pretty good last week. It was just kind of unfortunate circumstances. My one question mark is basically like I'm picking myself to win, but my question mark is Demaryius Thomas. He kind of scares me, not only because of the quarterback situation, but more so. I don't know if everybody's seen, he's like kind of battling a hip injury. So I'm going to be trying to follow it really closely because I'm going to be pretty pissed if I end up putting him in my starting lineup and he's only used as like a decoy type player. You know, I hate the way that NFL teams do that. You know, it screws up fantasy so much, but the way that, you know, the same way that like Calvin Johnson last year went in and he would get like three catches because he was just basically out there as a decoy. I think if Demaryius is healthy, he's going to have a pretty big day because, you know, I don't like that Indianapolis defense. I think anybody that has a player starting against them is in pretty good shape matchup wise. So I don't know. That's to me, that's the X factor. Dez this week, I mean, obviously, like I said, I'm taking a risk on Dez. I like the fact that he's playing against Washington, and watching that Washington-Pittsburgh game last week, they were they don't have Josh Norman move around with the top wide receiver on the other team. I know this because I was hoping that Antonio Brown didn't score 25 points in that game, and they kept putting some, like, rookie scrub on Antonio Brown, and obviously it's just going to burn him every single time. So I at least feel good about the fact that Dez is going against, you know, somebody not quite as good as Josh Norman, even though it's against Washington. Hopefully Washington gets a score too early and it kind of becomes a shootout and, you know, Dallas is passing the ball a little bit more and not being so conservative with the play calling. I still think Dez is a top five receiver in the league, not necessarily top five for fantasy, but like dude is so talented. I hope he can overcome his set of circumstances. Other than that, I mean, my matchups, I'm really happy about Marvin Jones. The way that he looked last week, I got a chance to watch most of that game. That's part of the reason why I felt cool about giving up Hearns is because I feel good about Marvin Jones. He got 10 targets, even though only four of them were completed. But part of that was Stafford was taking a lot of deep shots to him. He made a couple of really good plays. There was a couple of those targets ended up being like pass interference penalties because some of those DBs were getting burned. So like he still had 88 yards even on only those four catches, but it could have easily been a lot more. Gary Barnage last year obviously had a really good connection with McCown. You remember that, Rick, because I traded him to you and he had a really good ending stretch of the season. And the whole thing with him last year was he wasn't good when Manziel was playing, but he was – I think like the number two tight end per game when McCown was playing. So, I mean, you know, maybe that was a fluke or coincidence or whatever, but I'm hoping that he gets that going again. I was really happy with David Johnson last week. I think that he has as good a chance as anybody as being the number one running back at the end of the season. As long as he can stay healthy, I mean, he's going to get his touches. He saw the field for like 98% of the game. Eli against New Orleans, again, that's going to be a shootout. So I'm expecting a lot of points there. So I think I'm picking myself by like 8 points because I think there's going to be a huge difference in quarterback between Eli and Russell. I don't see the Seahawks really being anything other than conservative on offense. Their defense is going to give up no points to LA. So I think the difference there, and I think the difference in flex, Marvin Jones versus Eric Ebron, I mean, I expect Marvin to have a bigger day. I guess it's going to matter who Stafford targets. But just going with my gut, I think I'll come out winning by about 7 or 8 points probably.
All right, well, best of luck in your matchup and your picks. Thank you for the analysis and the shout-out to CBS and CBS Sports. I appreciate it. And your lemon pepper wing take on Buffalo Wild Wings as well.
Dude, it was like Asian Zing or like Indian curry or whatever those weird flavors that Pip always orders. It was like a medium-level take, dude. It was like the regular buffalo sauce, not like hot buffalo.
No, there's no way. It was not that good.
All right. Well, best of luck to you for the rest of the interviews here. Thanks again for doing the podcast. We all super appreciate it. Thanks for putting up with all of us, you know, trying to work out our schedules and all that. And yeah, best of luck to you and Scott. I can't wait to listen.
All right. Well, thank you, Jordan, for participating and future listening to the second part of this podcast as well, starting now.
The future's now, Rick.
No, that's how I wanted to segue this into Scott's interview, so I could just be like in post, I'll edit it, and we'll just boom right into Scott's interview.
Yeah, well, you can leave. Edit this out or leave it in, but edit it out. Yeah.
And now we're moving on to our pinch hitter. That is Scott stepping in for Jared. How you doing tonight, Scott?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. Just got done eating dinner. What up with you?
You know, chilling in the studio, making a podcast.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to start here with these matchups. Andrew starting off against Luke. Andrew, a pretty bad week one. He did win that DeAndre Hopkins got more points than Brandon Marshall, so he gets a small victory with his trade over Austin. Looking at his team, I really don't like Tavon Austin as a number three. I really, really don't like him as the Rams' number one receiver. I don't know why they paid him so much money. I really don't think it matters who's throwing him the ball in L.A. Looking at Luke's team, he struggled with Gio Bernard,
made up for it with
D'Angelo Williams putting up 30, as well as A.J. Green putting up 30. Just kind of got okay performances from T.Y. Hilton and Golden Tate. Scott, looking at this matchup, what do you see happening?
Well, I mean, first of all, for our audience out there, we just had to record that part because Rick wasn't recording at first, and he sounded just as good the second time, I have to say. And I'm fighting myself not to say the exact same things I just said, but anyway, here we go. Tavon Austin, I agree with you, Rick. I mean, I don't know if you had noticed, but Kenny Britt scored more points than Tavon. And do you know whose team he's on, Rick?
Inspire me here.
Actually, not anymore. I just dropped him, but I drafted him. He was on my team. And, I mean, Andrew, that was a tough week for him because he was matched up with Ripper Runs Through It, Jared Harris. Hands down, best team in the league. I mean, there's not much you can say about that because he's going to win every single game. Or at least that's the word in the street. Don't have too much to say about their offense or their matchup. I should say Luke's got Clive Walford starting in his tight end spot, which I think is going to be a breakout player this week. He got hit in the hands with about 10 balls last week against the Saints, but caught like 9 of them. I mean, not quite, but he's going to be good this week. Yeah, what else you got?
What do you think about Luke spending 11 of his Shroot Bucks and 17 in total on Tyrell Williams, the guy that a lot of people are thinking is going to take over Keenan Allen's spot in San Diego?
I mean, he's just following the trend. I was early on that trend. I drafted Travis Benjamin. You might have heard of him. He's going to be big now that simple Keenan Allen's out. I don't actually – you can see how many points people spend, dollars.
Yeah, like, you click on their name, and then you go to transactions, and it'll tell you how much people spent. And then if you look at their team, it'll tell you how much of their budget is left.
Damn. Man, that's pretty crazy. I feel like it should be a mystery for people. Like, it'd be better. It's almost like when you give a gift to somebody and you keep the price tag on it. Like, you know how much you're paying for these players. I kind of would like not like to know. But that's a lot of money on somebody who he's not even starting. So that being said, I bid $5 on CJ Fedorowicz this week. So I don't really have too much room to talk.
Yeah, we're going to get to you spending $5 on Fedorowicz later. But that's a topic for later on in this pod.
Yeah. I was just saying in regards to the Shrewbucks thing.
Right. Do you think Adrian Peterson gets it rolling this week?
Look, Adrian Peterson is going to have a great game against the Packers. Packers coming off a tough week against the Jags. They're just not ready for Adrian Peterson to be playing against them. And this is one he really is going to pick up in the second week, probably, if I had to guess.
Who do you have winning this matchup? What's the spread here in the Fitzgerald house?
Well, right now, my own projections, it's looking like a 69-69 tie right now. So, I think Peterson has a big week. I think AJ Green is obviously going to have another massive week. Clive Walford is going to have like 50 points. So, in reality, if I had to choose between the two of them, I think Luke's going to win because he has Clive.
That's fair. Andrew is projected to win by 5. I really don't see that happening. I think he loses by 10.
Yeah, I mean, these ESPN projections are so bad. So I would agree with you.
All right, I like that. And speaking of me, we're going to go to my matchup. Luke played Brandon last week. I get Brandon this week. Week one, Carson Palmer and Fitzgerald proved they still have something.
Carson Fitzgerald,
I'm not happy about another QB wide receiver duo to go against after the one I had with Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks. It was okay week overall for Silence of the Michael Sams. I did take the L against Dawson, but I did like the performance my team put together. Will Fuller looks like he's a pretty solid draft pick there. He's like the number one waiver wire ad in every other league, so maybe I'm the dumbass for having him. I still hate the Ravens for what they did to Justin Forsett, but it ended up being a good move for me somehow. And for multiple reasons, I really wanted the Falcons to give it to Bally Julio a lot more. But obviously, Shanahan has Devonta Freeman on his roster and not Julio, so that explains why they ran draw plays in the red zone. Seriously, figure your crap out there, Shanahan. But for this week, the Michael Sams, 3 key injuries, Watkins, Charles, and Wheaton all might not play. Tevin Coleman is looking like really good. I think in a couple weeks he takes the starting job from Devonta Freeman. I like what he did more out of the passing and the running game. So I think that is a good stash pick for Brandon. Where am I here? Oh yeah. Losing Ertz is not great. He's got displacement of the collarbone, rib displacement in the collarbone, which is essentially like where your ribs and your collarbone come together, like around your neck. It's apparently really hard to breathe, and somehow he injured that and then didn't tell anybody and played through it. Picking up Jesse James on the cheap, that was like a $3 Shrewbuck win, which is good because by the time Ladarius Green is back, I think Ertz will be healthy. So I think that'll be a pretty decent transition there. So, Scott, I've kind of given my whole spiel about my matchup. What do you think about me going up against Brandon here?
Well, that was a lot of info, but off top, yeah, Will Fuller, that was a good ad. Draft pick, I don't know. Did you draft him or did you add him?
I drafted him.
Wow. Yikes. But, yeah, that looked good. I don't think he's going to do that again. I think that was like kind of a fluke maybe. I don't know. Carson Fitzgerald and Larry Palmer are probably going to have a pretty decent week again, I would guess. But it's not going to be quite the Brandon Cooks, Drew Brees thing. I have a question for you. Are you rooting for Tevin Coleman to take the starting spot?
Yeah, I for some reason have never liked Devonta Freeman, and I really think Tevin Coleman is a lot faster and he's bigger. like height wise, like he's got a couple inches on Freeman. I think he's just the better running back. He played really well for 3 weeks last year before he like cracked a rib or something like that, and that's when Freeman went off. I thought that was a fluke season from Freeman. So I really think Coleman is going to take that job and have like a pretty solid season. Maybe not fantasy wise, but football wise, he's going to have a good year.
Yeah, football wise, like I'm all about the football wise perspective. Fantasy wise, I mean, I feel like they're going to go out there and play football, you know, and that's what they do. And if they get some points, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Would you trade a fantasy win for Tevin Coleman 200-yard, 4-touchdown game?
Do the Falcons still beat the Raiders in this situation?
No, they lose 60-28 in this situation.
So, yeah, I'll take the fantasy win then over Tevin Coleman taking the job and the Falcons still losing.
All right. Let's see where you lie on that one. Who's Jesse James? I've never heard of that guy.
He was that bandit. He like kind of killed some people and stuff. I'm not actually sure what Jesse James did though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Or it's some singer from the UK. I'm pretty sure too. But apparently, it's starting at your tight end, which is kind of, I mean, I don't know about that. I feel like you'd find a better tight end. If you like wanted to trade me for somebody, like I give you a CJ Fedorowicz type character.
I don't really want Fedorowicz on my team though.
I think in the end, Brandon got you by 15.
Wow, you're that confident in it, huh?
I think Latavius is a monster day. I think Palmer and Fitzgerald don't do the they're not as quite as good as Breeze and Cooks this week, but they're up there. And, I mean, Cam Newton, it will probably die at the end of this week after having, like, five more concussions. So that leaves you without a quarterback. And I just don't see you coming out on top.
I don't think the Niners' defense is that great where they're going to actually give Cam Newton, like, five more concussions, really. Like, I don't see that happening.
They were pretty good last week.
Against the Rams, who were absolutely garbage.
I don't know. I thought they played pretty well.
I don't think so. I think Cam goes off this week. I think Julio goes off against the Raiders' really pretty terrible secondary. I am worried about Odell Beckham against New Orleans' equally bad secondary. But I think in the end, I win by less than five. Like it's a tight one. And I think the Falcons, roll up 69 on the Raiders as well.
Ooh, wow. Okay. I like that. I don't know. It's matchup of two teams who got a tough matchup in the first round and we'll see if your $6 million McAnus is really worth $6 million.
It's a great McAnus. It's absolutely worth $6 million.
I don't think any McAnus is worth $6 million, to be honest.
Well, you know what's not worth five shroot bucks is Fedorowicz. Scott, we're moving on now to your matchup. We have to start, though, with why did you bid $5 on CJ Fedorowicz?
So, first of all, look, every crew needs a guy with a fedora, which, secondly, I don't really have a good explanation for that, besides, like, go Hawks and... I was watching Red Zone with Jared, and he caught a pass for like 5 yards. And I kind of thought, well, maybe I better buy into this Texans passing offense. And I have really no idea about how that our system works, though. So I just threw out $5 in case, say, another interested buyer like Luke, a Hawkeye fan, might bid like three or four or even like two. So I just wanted to make sure I had Zilowitz on my team this week.
All right, and I guess that's pretty fair. You exploded last week to be the high scorer. What was going through your mind, like, watching all of, like, your team just rack up the points against Pip?
First of all, wow. Second of all, wow. It's crazy that you can draft a team like this, a team that might be the best fantasy team ever drafted in, do no preparation at all. So basically what I learned from this week is that do not work for anything. It's all just going to be handed to you. So that's all I have to say. I was watching the morning games without Pip, and I was feeling pretty good about it because wherever he was, he didn't come home that night. Wherever he was, he probably had no idea that I was blowing him out by almost 100 points. Okay, it wasn't that by that much. And then later in the day, I felt worse about it because, that was a hard way to lose week one. What can I say? I drafted smart. I drafted football guys. Derek Carr is obviously going to be the MVP this year. I can't stress that really enough. I was just kind of befuddled by how well my fantasy team did this week.
Yeah, I was equally surprised. And then I was just as surprised when Duncan put up almost as many points as you, considering his team was the one people looked at and said, that's a bad team. Like, Duncan didn't do a great job. Like, drafted poorly, all this crap. He took crap all week, and then he comes out as the second highest scorer. Are you worried about, like, taking on a team that can equally explode for a big as output as your team can?
Well, I mean, this is going to be a powerhouse matchup, man. Like, look, everyone questioned Duncan when he took Jay Stu pretty early. And I think people should have been questioning, like, did he take Jay Stu early enough? Also, Zeke, that was a no-brainer in the first round. Like, rookie, running back for the Dallas Cowboys, like, you know he's going to be good. Like, there were no questions. Nobody ever said, like, wait, maybe – I wouldn't take Zeke with the number 5 overall pick. I don't know. What do you think about this matchup?
I like your top 3, Carr, Miller, and Murray, to top Duncan's top 3, Luck, Elliott, and Stewart.
So you just like
there's
all
something
all
about everyone. The matchups that I really like. I think Dak Prescott's going to throw the ball a lot this week, try and, like, challenge Josh Norman and get the ball to Dez Bryant, because Dez, I'm sure, is not happy about his one-catch performance. Tough matchup for Luck against Andrews' defense. And Jay Stu, even though he's going up against the Niners, I think the Niners do have a slightly tough run defense. I think that's going to be a tough matchup. Jordy Nelson, I think he has a big night on Sunday night. Doug Baldwin is a toss-up, and Mohamed Sanu, no way does he outperform Julio Jones again. I think he gets his catches, but I think Julio's the receiver to have in that game. Your receivers, I want to ask you, do you like, what is your thought process with Travis Benjamin? No Keenan Allen. Phillip Rivers likes to throw the ball. Their running game isn't that great. Do you think you're going to move Travis Benjamin into your starting lineup?
Melvin Gordon had a great week last week, first of all, so it's not a sure thing that their offense is going to be great or their passing offense is going to be great. I'm a little conflicted. I want to start Travis, but also I can't pass up Snead after that week and A-Rob, obviously, and then JE11, like, brings a – just I can't, like, not have that grit starting for me because that grittiness is key to any big fantasy win. I don't know. Would you start T.J. Yeldon over Travis Kelce?
Yeah, that's another interesting one. I would almost move Kelce to your starting tight end spot and maybe go Yeldon or Benjamin instead of Greg Olsen. I mean, it's tough when you have two top tight ends like that to not play them. But I think Benjamin's got crazy upside. But again, like, no one's seen the Chargers offense, how they work without Keenan Allen or Travis Benjamin in that offense. And TJ Yeldon had a pretty big week last week as well. So that's I think you should be questioning if you want to sub out Olsen for either of those guys as opposed to Kelce.
I'll consider that. Hey, are you going to buy a Mohamed Sanu jersey?
I will probably not do that, no.
What if he, like, gets, like, 100 yards every game receiving and, like, leads the league in touchdowns? All right, then would you buy Mohamed Sanu jersey?
I would probably go Scherzi. I don't even have a Julio Jones jersey. I just have the Julio Scherzi as well. So I feel like I can't up my boy Julio by getting a Sanu jersey when I don't even have my boy's jersey.
That's true. But, I mean, how many championships has your boy won you?
None. That'd be none.
Well, then, I think for a player like Sanu, you got to, I mean, show him some respect. He's going to have another breakout year this year. I feel like Sanu's had, like, three breakout years. Like, this is the year he's going to be the number one guy. Well, anyway, I have another little, like, issue with Duncan's team. He has Andrew Luck starting for him, and I noticed he had Marcus Mariota on his bench this week and last week. Do you think Duncan is actually that big of a Ducks fan if he's not starting Marcus?
I don't think he is. I know if I had Marcus on my team, I would start him, even over Cam. Like, absolutely, hands down, I would do that.
It's, like, one thing to, like, not take him, put him on your team, because you're like, well, I'll root for him, but I don't want him on my team. But if you're going to put him on your team, I feel like you're, like, contractually obligated to start him, or else you're just maybe not that big of a Ducks fan. I don't know, man.
That's an interesting question. We'll have to get Duncan on and ask him if he really is a Ducks fan. Because he did draft Jay Stu really early, who's a Duck, and then he went Northwest heavy with the Hawks, Hauschka, and Doug Baldwin. So maybe, I don't know where his allegiances lie, really.
Yeah, it's a confusing thing. But, hey, I got a question for you. Do you know how many points Brandon LaFell scored last week?
I don't. I'm going to guess 1.3.
Ooh. Ouch. You got your 1.3? So you're taking the under on on 2 points? It's actually 11 points. He scored like 11.4. Four receptions, 91 yards. So.
Well, why didn't you spend your five Schrute bucks on him instead of Fedora Dicks?
Because, Fedora was saying, I told you it was Sunday morning, and my head is not very clear at that moment in time. So, I don't even think LaFell had played by then. So, I should have spent my money on him, but I didn't. I might now that you tell me to. You know how many points Dez Bryant had?
That one I know. It was 1.3.
Yeah. That's like almost 9 points less, or 10 points, depending on how you do the math, than LaFell had.
Interesting. Now you said you weren't in the clear state of mind when you bet on Fedora Dicks. You know you can cancel your waiver wire moves, right? Like, they're not locked in at that time?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but I wish I had known that. I thought it was kind of like getting jumped into a game. Once you, like, bid on that player, you're, like, stuck with him. But that's cool. Thanks for telling me that, because I might have not spent that money on him. Go Hawks, though.
I thought that was kind of common knowledge. I'm sorry there.
Well, you can never assume. It makes an ass out of me. I got a special mention here. If I can give a shout out to another Hawkeye tight end, actually, that I didn't pick up but was close to picking up. Brandon Myers scored 6.9 points this week, in case you didn't know.
That's good knowledge. I like that scoreline. That's great. Go Hawks, I guess.
Yeah. So, big week for Hawks. Yeah.
All right, so what do you think in your matchup then? Who are you taking? What do you see going on here?
Well, to be honest with you, I see another 160 points easily. Derek Carr is going to put up maybe more points than last week against just a terrible Atlanta defense. Lammer and DeMarco Murray are both going to put up like 10 points. I'm seeing a big win for Full House yet. Obviously, I'm a little biased.
I see you putting up the win. I think it's really close, something like 99-97, something like that. But again, Derek Carr, he's going to have to throw the ball a lot because Atlanta's going to roll 69 on Oakland. Like, that's a guarantee. Oakland is such garbage, such trash.
I don't know about that, though. I don't know if you have the facts to back that statement up. Should we bet on this game or what?
I'm willing to do a – yeah, I'll do a bet with you. What are you thinking here?
Well, now that you put that on me, I don't really have anything. We could maybe crowdsource this thing and get something similar to like you do a beer run and – have Bree, like, live stream it. That'd be cool. Or we could just put, like, $5. Can we bet Shrew Bucks? Are those, like, transferable, or are they, like, locked in?
I do have, as league manager, the ability to edit people's amount, like, their waiver wire budget. So I could add money back, but I feel like that would be something that we'd have to discuss with the league if they want me and want people to be able to do bets. But that does seem unfair, honestly, thinking about it.
Yeah, because, like, I was going to bet you, like, 50 Shrew Bucks. And when I ended up giving those to you, you'd have a very unfair advantage over the rest of the league because of me. So you're probably right on that one.
Yeah, it's probably safer that I don't mess around with any more of the league rules. So,
all right, you could buy me a Derek Carr jersey. I'll buy you Mohamed Sanu jersey if Falcons win.
That's an interesting bet.
How about?
I don't know. Let's crowdsource this. When we post this, we'll have people say what they think the bet should be.
All right, that's fair. All right, or you could just buy a Mohamed Sanu jersey for yourself after the Falcons win.
I don't really want a Mohamed Sanu jersey or a jersey for that matter.
It sounds like you're not that much of a Falcons fan. I don't know.
I mean, I am a Falcons fan. I don't know if I'm ready to go all in on Mohamed Sanu yet, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if you don't like the Falcons, yeah.
I mean, do you have a Derek Carr jersey or an Amari Cooper jersey or a Crabtree jersey? Or, I mean, have you thought about taking Luke's Crabtree jersey and, like, painting it black or something?
I have thought about that. As far as I know, I don't have any of those things. I'm not that big of a Raiders fan, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, look at you calling me out, and you can't even back up your own fandom.
Yeah, well, fine, right? Fine.
It's all good. All right, best of luck in your picks and your matchups. Thanks for being on the pod with me.
Yeah. One more thing. I just wanted to mention that Yuri Bonnage on Jordan's team, he scored 0 points in case no one had seen Jordan score this week. 0 points from a player drafted, I would guess, in between the first and 15th rounds. So, all right, that's all I have to say. Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me on. Good talking to you. Bye.